Excellent. So before the news, we were talking about actors, train drivers and archaeologists, just some of the things that the over 55s want to be when they grow up. But some people still think it's too late to address this and talk more about these fascinating findings. We're delighted to be able to welcome to the programme ace chartered psychologist extraordinaire Dr. Simon Moore. Good morning, Simon.
Good morning.
And equally wonderful head of content for Future Learn, Nigel Smith. Good morning, Nigel.
Morning, Alex.
Excellent. Simon, if we come to you first, from the point of view of positive thinking, we did a big feature yesterday on the importance of positive thinking. This notion that, you know, a writer is obviously the top job, but one in six women apparently have been unable to sort of really achieve what they wanted to, effectively. I mean, are they findings that surprise us, or is this something which you think, well, yes, actually, it is never too late, but you've got to take some action in the direction of your dream?
Yeah, I think it's the psychology of perception here, isn't it? We mustn't kind of confuse with reality. So I think where people kind of, you know, trip themselves up in the fact that they think they might not be able to do these things, and that obviously impacts their confidence, yeah. When in actual fact what we're seeing is that people who do try these things are doing quite well at them.
Nearly half of those surveyed say that they're already too old to land their ideal job, according to research by Future Learn. And as we just mentioned there, if you happen to be female, women, although they're more likely to retrain than men, are held back by a lack of confidence.
Yes, I'm not just sure. We mustn't get confused here, because there is actually a difference biologically between men and women in a part of the brain called the anterior cingulate cortex, one to remember. But it's a part of the brain that deals with threat. So rather than seeing it as women having a lack of confidence, they're actually more sensitive to threat. So, for example, men are more likely to answer a problem if they think it's a 50-50 likelihood of an answer, whereas women, on the other hand, will actually not answer if they don't have all the facts. So I think we need to kind of rethink about what we mean by confidence. I don't think it's lack of confidence per se. I think it's just the actual programming and how they deal with problems and situations.
Simon, I've always wanted to conduct an interview with the words anterior cingulate cortex. That's a classic there. Let's bring in Mary Dancy. Mary, thoughts from your good self?
Yeah, I had no idea, actually, that the brain systems, I suppose, between men and women were so different, that actually, you know, how we perceive things are just because women have more, like, have that threat type of kind of partial thing in their brain. But no, it is really interesting. And I kind of wonder, like, as well, like, to probably put this correctly in their words, not just like the opportunities, but whether like they're accessible in that way for both women and men, to so that this confidence, I suppose, if we're losing it loosely, isn't such a big of issue of like trying new things and getting involved.
Is it a confidence thing, effectively, that we're saying? I mean, let's turn to Nick for this. I mean, Future Learn, from that point of view, I mean, looking at the top 10 lists there, it's interesting that writer at number one, football at number five. I'm afraid I've given up my hopes of actually sort of scoring the winning goal for Manchester City in an FA Cup final. But in terms of that, were these surprising findings for yourself, Nick? Nigel?
Not particularly. So Future Learn offers hundreds of free online courses which are openly accessible to anybody, and the types of courses that we have seen as popular in that age group include we've got courses on football, we see in this list the number one career aspiration is to be a writer, and one of our most successful courses is called Start Writing Fiction, which is from the Open University. And that's a terrific course for people who may have always had a dream of wanting to become a writer, have not had an outlet to either practice, get feedback. And obviously, in an online environment, you can get feedback from thousands of people, a really diverse group of people from all over the world.
Looking to psychology, Simon, do you find that there are many late entrants to the profession of psychology? Or is it something, if you haven't decided you want to be a psychologist by the time you're 18, it's far too late?
No, don't think so. I think my experience of being at universities is that we get all age ranges, and I think, to echo Nigel's point, it's never too late. I mean, we know from, if you move across slightly, look at kind of computer game research, and a fuss about, you know, brain training about 10 years ago, what we did learn from that was that the brain is actually quite receptive all the way up until we take our last breath in terms of change. So, you know, I think we need to I think that we can do things, and if we try, then, you know, that's a good thing. Mm. Rather than not try, let's give it a go and see what happens. And I think the brain kind of does respond in that sense.
And actually, one of the great bits of feedback we often get from learners who have taken FutureLearn courses sometime after they've been at school or years after they've been to university is we get lots of emails saying it was great to take that course and actually to get my brain kind of working again.
FutureLearn, of course, a social learning platform. It's designed to support learning through conversation. It offers free online courses across the base. Are we into that field where, in essence, it doesn't matter whether you're in your fourth decade, fifth decade, sixth, seventh or eighth decade, there's still an opportunity to really kind of give yourself new challenges, but also give yourself new positive experiences?
Absolutely. And I think one of the great positive experiences people get from FutureLearn courses is the fact that, unlike at maybe a university where you are typically taking a course amongst people of your own age group on a free online course, you're mixing and hearing conversations and taking part in conversations with thousands of people of varying ages and experiences from all over the world.
I was surprised to see astronauts didn't figure. I would have thought astronaut might have been in there, really, but train driver, very much old school and traditional stuff there. I personally would have gone for astronaut, I think. But was that just beyond the sort of list of top 10 things, or did you think, no, best not have any out-of-worldly experiences?
I think it's a hard ambition, astronaut, even if you're a young person.
Ah, right. Yeah. Mary, any other sort of thoughts or comments?
No, I'm really glad this is so optimistic. Like, it's really, you know, really heartwarming, actually, to think that, you know, it's going to be okay.
It is going to be okay. That's the critical thing. Nigel, what's the best website to go to find out more about these aspects? If people actually listen to this, say, yes, that's fine. Where do we go to find out more about FutureLearn?
It's simple. Just go to futurelearn.com.
Sensational. Two final questions for good self. It's our customer satisfaction scenario. We'll start off with Dr. Moore to start off with. Simon, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, and made more so by the fact that you mentioned Manchester City.
We're back at Wembley again, so good news,
yes,
from that perspective.
And, you know, always a nervy encounter. That last night was quite nervy as well. Anyway,
I still fret about Kevin De Bruyne. You know, let's just hope he's okay. But anyway, that wasn't a specific question. Can we look forward to welcoming you back, Simon, in the not too distant future?
Yeah, good. It's been good to talk.
And Nigel, same to question for your good self. Have you had a reasonably okay time? And will you be able to join us and keep us updated about the magic of FutureLearn in the near future?
I've had a lovely time. I'd be delighted to join you again.
Yeah, round of applause for Dr. Simon Moore and Nigel Smith. Splendid. Let's move on to a true motivating theme. In some way, shape or form, actually galloping over the Cumbrian Hills to the tune of the Magnificent Seven as written by Elmer Bernstein could be seen as one of one's little fantasies. Who knows what could actually happen? We started off the programme, of course, with Katie Carr, of course, one of our undergraduates and graduates, talking from her experience in Sunderland. Now, Mary Dancy, we speak to another fine soul who was actually taught by me in the last century, no less. I know, in the last century. She's now become our ace Cumbrian correspondent extraordinaire. She is Liv Clark. Good morning, Liv. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. Very well, thank you. Everyone in studio, all right?
Well, as it stands at present, we're here. We started off looking at clearly a possible lineup, which would have included Emma Tinson, Fiona Williams, Claire Margerison, Eva McDonald, Tessa Snart and Emily Jones. Tessa and Emily have gone off to do shorthand. Claire's slept in.
Yeah,
happens.
Ill
and slept in. Emma
Tinson.
Emma Tinson also a bit poorly, which means that keeping the English flag flying, and I'm not speaking in any kind of national sort of situation here, Mary Dancy, level 3 English, has kept the thing sort of going in the second part of the show. So, yeah, it's all good. So, as I say, everyone in the studio, yes, the two of us are doing fine, and clearly, Liv, looking at the basis of the listener, as in the global sense, we like to feel that they're fine as well.
Good.
Okay, that's a bit of rhetoric there coming through from that perspective. So, what do you think? Do you think we could actually share? I mean, I'm thinking about Lowther host trials or various other things where surely we could actually sort of have the Magnificent Seven within that. Or would that just be a case of, no, the citizens of Cumbria would think you'd lost your marbles?
No, Prince Philip, like the Duke of Edinburgh, I think I can imagine that music with him as he carriageways around the course. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Although, tragically, he's given up the carriage driving these days.
No, he hasn't.
Has he not?
He's given up the majority of them, but he still comes to Lowther.
Do you know, it was quite some time since I was in Lowther, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. We must get together do a joint thing.
It's all to do with Cedric, who does the walks along Grange Oversands. That's Queen's private guide that goes on Grange. It's all around that bit. That's what the link
is.
You live and learn, you see. You never stop learning.
A natural amphitheatre. That's the key thing that they actually had in Lowther, which was very impressive. And, of course, Mary, as you're from London, this is all northern stuff to you.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm like, Cumbria.
It's okay. Liv, the floods, which clearly you gave some very sort of pertinent comments on a few weeks ago. I mean, it's ridiculous to say, is it getting back to normal? But is there a sense of normality returning to the region, or is it still a case of, we're still waiting for the insurance?
It's we're lost and forgotten, unfortunately. We were on the news headlines for about 4 days, and David Cameron came and stood up next to a puddle and said, I'm going to give you £500 million to get back on your feet. Mm. And they've now reneged on their promises. So the money that was promised isn't here. People weren't insured. The Environment Agency got the floodplain maps wrong, so people who should have been insured didn't, and vice versa. So it's been a bit of a calamity, and the people up here are feeling a bit destitute and left by the government. Mm. So there's a lot of work the public have been doing. They've raised over £5 million to the Cumbria Community Foundation Trust, which is all going to the flood victims. So it's just a bit of a shame it's worked out this way, really. But we've been hit again this week. There's more storms coming this afternoon and through the weekend, and snow as well. So we're not expecting a great time, really.
Difficult, as we said, in terms of the possibility to come through that. But, I mean, one of the stories that I was particularly sort of taken with was how Keith Curl, who is the manager, of course, of Carlisle United and the Carlisle United players, kind of really sort of stepped up to the plate and got involved with the community in terms of rescuing, helping people clear out their houses, etc. And, that's, if anything, and I know it's a cliche, but the sense of community that at least we've been presented with seems to be very positive. And that can only be a good thing, surely, Liv.
No, absolutely. And that's what the upside of it is, if there is an upside, is neighbours now know each other and people are helping each other. So young farmers came out, local farmers with tractors, machinery, people who own diggers have come free of charge, digged, becks and lakes out and things like that. So it's brought a lot of that upon people, which isn't a bad thing, but it shouldn't take a catastrophe like an act of God like this to make that happen, which should have been there already. But also there's been a resurgence up here of church community spirit. So even if people say a year before this happened didn't have a faith of any description, but now there's a lot of more Christian faith come out as a result. So that again is a good news story as well. So there is a lot of positive in there. But there are a lot of people struggling mentally and emotionally with what's happened. I think the church is helping them a bit as well.
I was very impressed with the immediacy of Liv's Facebook feed, where she actually put a full link up and tagged me in to the Blue Danube motivating thing, which we talked about with Sarah Huntley a few weeks ago. She's very impressive. Yeah, that's what it's all about from that perspective. But Mary, any questions you'd like to put to the Tyler mistress? Meister? No, mistress. I don't know. It's very confusing.
I've got my fingers. I hope everything goes
In fact, let's scrap that. It's actually, let's get the surname correct. It's Clark, so it's Liv Clark. Sorry, once again, confusing the two. Easily done, one.
No, a Hollywood actress and me,
Exactly. Anyway.
I'm hoping everything, with all the coming storms coming up, I'm keeping my fingers and toes crossed that they're not as bad or anything as well. Have you got anything going on this week, I suppose? Work?
Yes. What will you be doing with yourself, Liv Tyler, when you have to scoot off in a few moments of time to actually sort of go to another sort of key sort of aspect in your life?
I'm going to do some fundraising. I'm going to a meeting about fundraising for mental health in the community. I'm going to go to the local MP about that. And my MP, quite fortunately, is Tim Farron, who's the leader of the Lib Dems. And he's an incredibly great hands-on MP, one of the rare ones out of the bunch. There's a lot of work Cancer Research UK are doing around getting people to stop smoking. I'm an ex-smoker now for a year. And they're trying to get 1p per cigarette tax for every person that smokes a cigarette to put that back in the NHS. So we'll have a conversation about that as well.
Excellent.
So stick in my beaking where it's not wanted.
Yeah, it sounds so unlike the undergraduate I used to know back in the 90s, Liv, you know. I mean, it's just very strange from that point of view. Still
you know what, I remember, I was thinking of the day I was talking to someone about the internet and email. Our call started just as that came in and we all went, that's never going to take off, is it?
It's just some sort of strange distribution mechanism.
I remember saying, why would you not write to each other anymore?
Exactly. It's pointless still. And maybe in some dimension, it still is. It is, of course, that time where Mary, like many other third-year students, are kind of putting together dissertations. Yes. And although Liv all this advice, etc., it has to be noted, and I will say once again, that Liv is probably the only person who could have actually completely changed her entire topic she was doing for her dissertation, and with literally about 10 days to go, managed to sort of pull out a final fantastic... I know, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is the dream.
And then the computer crashed, so I had to start. I got to 3,000 words, and I had to start again.
I'd cry. I'd probably break down.
But no, I did. It worked out really well in the end.
It was
brilliant. I still got it, Alex. I found it in the attic. I still got it.
And she got a first, I believe.
Wow.
That's very good.
I would be so proud of that.
As her tutor at the time, I think it's fair to say, Liv, I said, is this the best way forward? But you did it,
you
know, exactly.
She nailed it.
Moral of the story, if you listen
to... Do you know
what
it is, though, Alex? And I'll give you some advice, Mary. If you write from the heart and write with passion, the topic, that if you're passionate about the topic or the item you're speaking about or want to write about, then it will flow.
Then it will
That's like what I found.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It does, once again, you know, Liv's words of wisdom. Words. I think we can actually... words to live by.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, we can work on that sort of basis, I'm sure.
No one's ever done that joke before.
No, I know. It's still one of these days. One of these days, we will have to make our way across to that west coast and actually do a little location report, or indeed northwest in your own case, Mary. But, you know, we will get there.
Bring your waders in a speedboat, is what I was saying.
Okay.
it's a strange and bizarre sort of place in more ways than one. Still wandered lonely as a cloud. It's great. It reminded me of the classic Geordie joke, which I will probably have used with Ian Lennox many a time. The chap who goes to the hairdresser says, "Can I have a perm?" And the chap says, "I wandered lonely as a cloud." Sorry. I know.
Alex, I've got something for you, Alex. Actually, have you heard the latest great news about the Beatrix Potter find?
Yes, there's a new Beatrix Potter book that's actually emerged.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is finally we can actually sort of see Mrs. Tiggywinkle and or more emerging as a whole brand new text.
That's so exciting.
Just goes to show what a movie with Reese Witherspoon can actually lead into the cosmic harmony. Or maybe not.
You wouldn't believe the greatness that did for tourism. Anyone who films up in the Lake, which happens a lot, Christopher Eccleston is here at the moment filming, and everyone comes to see the landscape, they come up and see it. So it's fantastic for the area.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. And of course, the sad thing with Christopher Eccleston, you can't really talk about Doctor Who with him. He will go there. He's just,
But you see him and you just go, Doctor Who.
Yeah,
he's just Doctor Who.
He can't escape it.
Oi, Chris, where's your leather jacket? It's not going to sort of open up a major interview sort of scenario. I mean, Liv, you could probably use it, but it's a different line. Still, never mind. Okay, as mentioned, William Sitwell will be up at 9:35 precisely. 9:35 precisely. Not 9:34, not 9:36, 9:35 precisely.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll be working our way through that. Mary, any other questions, queries, or indeed seeking advice structures you'd like to put to our ACE graduate, Liv Clark, who indeed graduated from this very university when it wasn't even called the University of Lincoln?
What was it called then?
University of Humberside.
Humberside,
okay. What is it now? Is it now a housing estate, Alex? I don't know why.
Yes, actually, where we actually used to do our training, the radio packages, Liv, and all of that sort of setup is now somebody's living room. So it just goes to show what happens. I like to feel the siren setup that we got at Lincoln.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a living room, really, out of a sort of fashion, but without the sofas. Anyway, we'll come to that in the fullness of time. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
No, I don't have any particular questions for Liz, but I just wanted to thank you because that's a really good idea. Just do what I want to do with my dissertation.
Right from the heart.
Right from the heart.
If it's something that really fuels you with passion through the heart, because the heart does often rule the head, and that's often quite a good way of doing things.
But if you
can build around that, if you have this great burning idea, you can build around it very quickly.
Because as I'm writing it, I'm like finding more things that I'm interested in the topic, so I'm kind of like veering off. So I need to like pull it back and say, what do I actually want to say? in this.
So, and what is the topic?
Well, it's a bit of the double, so doing the double identity in characters and how they take a double on in literature and stuff.
Or indeed doppelganger.
Doppelganger.
Which, of course, is the classic way of another sort of horrific scenario. This is, of course, for a degree in English, just in case you're thinking, yeah, double, where's it going there?
What is she talking about?
Do you do mind mapping, Mary?
Yeah, I do, actually. So I have, huge sheets at home where I've just been like, what do these books have in common? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, because I find mind mapping is a very useful tool for things like that.
And the good news is Mary is one of those fine English students who actually will sort of say, yes, don't complain about reading books if you're doing a degree in English. Sorry, just looking at you. Liv, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
As usual, I have, Alex, thank you.
And will you return again in the very near future to keep us appraised of Cumbria?
I will indeed, if I don't get drowned by the floods,
Snorkels. You see, bog snorkelling is also a very popular sport in Cumbria, so I've been told. So, you know, the message that's actually there. In fact, Beatrix and bog snorkelling. Two of those sort of key areas you can actually look for.
Who knew we'd get that far down the conversation?
Well, once you launch with the Magnificent Seven, anything has actually happened. Liv Clark, as ever, we salute you. Keep on keeping on and stay dry.
I will. And Mary, all the best.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Some frightening news has emerged, Mary. Very frightening news. And it's all come from that gentleman, John Wenham, and his diary. Frightening news.
What is it?
On Friday, the 5th of February, 11 p.m. in the engine shed, it's the Justin Bieber Appreciation Society. The Justin Bieber Appreciation Society, an 18-plus society whose mission is to throw stupidly fun parties across the UK and play... and play all the bangers that make the Beliebers deep down come together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, if... And they thought they got it more challenging in Cumbria with respect to the floods, etc. Now, the ticket's £4 if you happen to be over 18 and want to get involved with the Justin Bieber
and
Appreciation Society.
Cool believer.
Yeah. And it's Friday, the 5th of February. It's fair to say I probably won't be going to...
Are you sure? Are you sure it doesn't take offence?
I've thought long and hard, and I think the likelihood is extremely remote. However, I could be persuaded, possibly financially, depending on the offer that's actually... everything can be on the agenda. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily endorse it, but if we're talking 6-7 figures here, might find that we're able to actually do that whole sort of sequence. Earlier in the week, on Monday the 1st of February, the Crooks are performing at the Engine Shed, a British indie rock band who formed in Sheffield in 2008. And their first single, A Collier's Wife, was recorded as part of the Two Pure Singles Club. So great things happening at the Engine Shed, as they always are, really. Although it does seem to be very dark as a venue. I mean, I suppose that's why it's the Engine Shed.
Yeah, I suppose so, but...
Never mind. More questions and rhetoric will actually be put to William Sitwell as we reach him once again at 9:35 precisely. Honestly, sometimes you think he's so... If we called him now, we get his answer phone, you see.
Yeah.
Or he might just put the phone down. And if we call him afterwards, he may not be there at all. It's critical. As Ian Mills would say, it's a fine-tuned scenario to actually say, where do we actually sort of work the thing into place so that he does join us and feel, it's all right. You know, we could claim there's some kind of time dilation effect between Lincoln and London, of course, but I don't think you'd go for that.
No, I don't think so.
Even if he's in Northampton. however, at least we've got the topic he's going to talk about, and maybe we can actually put this question to him as well. What I feel, I can't.
Well, it's 9:35 and 2 seconds, 3 seconds, and so on, and we have not quite connected, but we will try again, and that is precisely 9:35. Hopefully, the message will get through, or else we'll simply leave a message on his answer phone.
This is good. Well, will we go to answer phone?
Hello.
There we are, you see, 9:35 precisely. He's absolutely spot on. This is the precision is almost like a Swiss Army knife. It's just phenomenal. He may know the answer to What Is Life, he may not. William Sitwell, welcome to the production. How are you, sir?
I'm going to talk to you in 30 seconds. Speak to your guests.
Right, OK, there we are. We'll give him 30 seconds to sort of fill from that point of view. Leave his channel open, sorted, and marvellous things will be there. Might actually give us a chance to actually sort of squeeze in a William Sitwell ident, which actually fills for another 12 seconds from that point of view, and that goes this way.
Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
Which allows for another sort of time for me to say, yay, it's William Sitwell, which takes up another few seconds of time. And there we are, you see. It fits perfectly. So where are you today, William?
I'm in Knightsbridge.
Excellent.
In London, city of London.
It's cool, crisp,
and it's blue sky.
As we like to say, Mary Dancy's hometown.
Yes,
really.
Knightsbridge is lovely.
Exactly. Mary, who's been representing the Southern folk with a vengeance today, as we've gone up to Newcastle, Sunderland, Carlisle, Cumbria, and indeed had representations.
You've seen all the UK.
From Peterborough and rightly so. But one thing that Mary has done, William, is to read the fascinating article in the Daily Telegraph, Why I'm Glad A La Carte Is Going Out of Fashion.
Mary, completely agree.
Over to you.
Yeah, no, I really liked the article. It was really good, because I completely agree that the fact that some restaurants are really excessive in their food choices. Like, you know, you can have so many things with one type of meal, and they have all the different options, and you're just like, I don't know what I want. It's too much.
So I sense this was written from passion, William. It was a passionate piece, this, and would you say, yes, this is rather like the former campaign to stop using square plates, but it's going to be more successful?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it could be more successful. I mean, I think we have too much choice in this world. And I think we need chefs to edit that choice. And I think half the fun of going to a restaurant is that you use the expertise of the chef and you like to place yourself in his or her hands. And when I walked past, unfortunately, I think the trend is sort of moving against us. You know, so many restaurants want to offer you every single thing, hundreds of items. But you know that half that stuff is not fresh because it physically can't be because of the huge wastage you'll get. But I walked past this restaurant called Wolf, run by a man called Wolf Cunningham on All Saints Road in London, and literally it had a choice of two starters, rarebit fondue or gravlax. It had a choice of three main courses, some venison roe, monkfish stew, and something else I can't remember, and then two puddings, apple and salted caramel pudding, and a chocolate mousse, one choice of one wine, white, two red. And that, to me, is the spirit of, you know, the idea of the personal chef, you know, the guy saying, put yourself in my hands, I'll cook for you.
Yeah.
And I love that. But do you know what? That guy had been going for a year. I was the last customer. He shut down. So that's a great tragedy. There's a wonderful chef in London called Sally Clark, who trained under the tutorship of Alice Waters, one of America's finest cooks, a steely campaigner for school meals for kids and so on. And her restaurant, Chez Panisse, in Berkeley, California, was a place where there is no choice. And Sally Clark started doing No Choice when she opened Clark's 31 years ago in Notting Hill Gate in London. But she had to finally relent, so there's now a bit of choice. So I'm afraid, whilst my perfect restaurant, if I was going to envision it, would be 30 covers, no choice, or very limited choice, where you just get cooked what the chef that day found in the market. They're few and far between.
Yeah. My favourite restaurant actually is in Nottingham, and it's called the Larder and Goose Gate, and it's like its menu, it's like one side, and it, yeah, there's about 2-3 options for each bit. So yeah, there's 3 meals for the mains, about 3 options, 1 veggie and 2 other bits for the starters and stuff. And that's really nice, and it's really classy, and it feels really special when you go there. So I completely
agree. But also, you know that everything's going to be fresh.
Yeah.
There's going to be less wastage. Mm-hmm. You're going to eat what the chef loves, and, you know, because the greatest cooks in the world are people who take inspiration from the ingredients.
Mm.
You know, lesser mortals such as myself, you know, we're recipe hounds. We cut out a recipe. We go and we try and find exactly the right ingredients to suit the recipe. If you've got a brilliant instinctive understanding of food, you start with the ingredient.
Mm.
I need to spend 12 weeks at the Ballymaloe Cookery School, or I need to go to Caroline Walgrave's school down in Somerset, or I need to, you know, I think I'm going to have a midlife crisis and go on a cookery course. In fact, these appearances on your show are leading me to a midlife crisis. You're breaking me down, Alan.
We're supporting you. Besides, we've got some lovely psychologists who can actually help with your crises. We were talking to them at the start of the programme, Dr. Simon Moore. Just because you're approaching 55 doesn't mean you have to give up on your dreams. Obviously, William's a long way from 55.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Just
stressing me. How dare you?
Precisely. It's very critical.
Life is tough enough without you telling me I'm 10 years older than I think I am. You know, the amount of money I spend on therapists. Oh, my God, I'm getting rid of my shrink. I'm hiring a butler.
And, of course, bear in mind the Buddhist thought, which is right at the heart of this whole choice thing. Where there is choice, there is misery. And you wouldn't want to eat in misery, would you?
No, I didn't know that. I like that. I might slap that on something.
Yeah, well,
a wall.
There you have it. I was so impressed as well with the fact that your whole piece in the Telegraph last week was nicely juxtaposed with a concern that children are spending too much time staring at their computers, which is very true. That's the top of the article. Different story, different piece, but nevertheless, it sort of was a refreshing sort of aspect was there.
Yes, there's an idea, isn't there, that children are watching less television. Hooray!
Yeah.
Children are glued to their iPads. Boo!
As long as they're watching, William said, well, who cares, really? That's the end of the day. But, you know, so line from that perspective. William, as ever, a sheer delight. And we've now sort of reached 9:42, precisely. 7 English minutes in the company of Northampton's finest. You could wish for no more. I mean, so we've built the whole thing around that. Mary, however, it falls to your good self to put those last two interrogatives to the man.
OK. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
It's crisp, blue and hopeful.
Good. And will you join us again soon?
I imagine so.
Yay.
I hope so.
Good, good, good.
I used to rule the world. Seas would rise when I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep. Roman cavalry choirs to sing. When I ruled the world.
Which brings us neatly round to what I think is becoming a sort of semi-feature. Started off last week with, of course, the Monkees and Mary Mary. And that's a great thing, of course, Stancy, that we can obviously sort of address a whole range of things, because there's stacks of those tunes which are actually just written, dedicated for yourself, really. It's, it's quite amazing, really. So we can actually have that particular aspect where we say, right, what Mary theme is he going to play this week? Well, it could be Danny Wilson.
Everything is wonderful. Being here is heavenly. Every single day she sends. Everything is free. I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary's prey? Suddenly the heavens rose. Suddenly the Mary.
Finally, the citizens of Peterborough and Harrogate can rejoice with the legendary Tessa Snart and Claire Margerison as regular co-presenters on the Midweek Drive.
Yeah, well, half of them, sort of, so to speak. I was expecting something completely different, but never mind. Eva MacDonald, good morning, if you're listening to us. She had a meeting earlier, which is one of the reasons she had to do various other bits and bobs. She said she'd listen in from 9:30. Well, you know, clearly we're well over 9:30 now. In fact, it's 9:10. It's only a matter of moments before we'll be literally leaving the studio.
Yep.
Leaving it in the hands of Mr. Computer and a whole heap of other good material that's coming up on Siren, and we will alert you to what that material will be very shortly. Other than that, you could always go to sirenonline.co.uk and say, I'll find it out myself, thank you very much. You know, it's quite simple. And a quick sort of heads up that next Wednesday on the programme we'll be featuring Randy Reinholtz and Jean Bruce Scott again, plus, of course, Vix from Vix and the Mischiefs, formerly, of course, of Fuzzbox. So lots of good material to come through. Of course, Drive Time will be on as ever. And tomorrow, Jeff Thompson will be in the breakfast chair doing his own stuff, I think, for probably one of the last Fridays before Jared Johnson takes over next week. Just keeping you updated there with things as they develop. That's almost it for now, apart from a little blast of Saint Etienne.
I heard she drove the silvery sports car along the empty streets last night. Shoes from the red brick stairway. Don't forget to catch me.
And relax. So thanks to Tessa Snart, Emily Jones, and your good self for being part of the early part of the production. Thanks to Kayleigh Carr, Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, Dr. Simon Moore, Nigel Smith, Liv Clark and William Sitwell. And thank you, Mary Dancy, for seeing the whole thing through. We, as I say, will be doing a whole range of things next week. Siren continues with a glorious material. In fact, well, it's just so much wonderment. I don't know where to begin, actually, apart from the fact that you just sort your own material through on Lincoln's first community radio station, Siren FM. Have you had an okay time?
Yes, I have. I had a great time.
Good. A little blast of Nick Kershaw, which is going to take us through to Squeeze and Black Coffee in Bed, and then the news, and then a Rudimental featuring Ed Sheeran is up after that. So it's just going to show the sort of quality. Can't beat a little touch of a Rudimental. Okay, time to say farewell then.
Okay. It was lovely chatting to you all.
Well, no, not all. Just one person. Just keep one. It exactly. We've appreciated your company. Say bye-bye, Mary.
Bye-bye.
Splendid. Say hello to the Siren FM ident in, ooh, let's say, 10, 12. We could count down, say 10 seconds before we actually do this. So, 8 seconds now, 7, 6. Really exciting now. It's Robin who's going to be doing this Siren ident. Then a bit of Squeeze. Then the news. Bye-bye.